Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 3 characters. Brayden.
Velik Dagar, half-elf, Hexblade Warlock.
Caleb.
I am Kaito Itata. I have an axe. I'm a warforged barbarian.
Brandon.
Ikurok Poonchle,
blood hunter, half-orc.
Tomo.
I'm playing Steve Tehiman. I am a human ranger.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, the party of four leave Gurm the Gnome and the beached sea pickle in the sandy bay. Steve tracks the kobold rowing crews through the cold, damp jungle to the mountain cave, of which Beleg has some prior knowledge. After a brief but bloody encounter at the cave entrance, Rook and Kaitoa enter and are immediately set upon from around the first corner. Now, as Steve stalks up through the dark cavern entrance, Beleg, still disguised as a kobold guard, shouts ahead. Episode 13. Don't Badger the Witness.
Brother, who's that?
I'm the guard!
The first kobold with a buckler and a rudimentary short spear gives you a motion with his three clawed hand to come.
Someone's alive! Who's that?
And in the same moment, you see two more heavily armored kobold warriors appear from around the dark corner.
Wonderful.
It's still your turn.
Yeah. All right. How do I not kill Kaitoa? All right. So I want to move up to just diagonal one space here. And then move up to behind Rook. And then I want to cast Shatter 10-foot radius. So I should be able to get all five of these guys.
You are
a
stunning
effect.
Individual. AOE.
And they all have to make constitution saving throws against my spell DC, which is 13.
And
so I'm going to roll for, let's see. I'm going to roll for all five of them.
It's either going to suck or be awesome.
Awesome.
Each one needs to individually beat 13 on wisdom.
Constitution.
Constitution?
Yeah, shatter.
This is a negative. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 3.
Yes!
One of them passed your shatter test. Can you describe shatter and what the damage is going to be like to four of these guys?
A sudden loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of your choice within range. Each creature in a 10-foot radius sphere centered at that point makes constitution. 3d8 thunder damage on a failed save.
Good lord.
Half as much on a successful one. So they all take damage.
Only one of them saved to take half damage.
Yeah.
So how much damage do you do to them?
Damn.
Boop, boop.
7, 9, 12 damage.
Or 6. Who's got the party horn
or out? 6.
Hold on. So 4 of these kobolds shatter. And it appears as if a vibration has taken root inside of their bodies, and their bits of armor just fly onto the walls. And there's sort of a dust in the air. The fifth kobold is looking not good. He is looking very shaky, and
swoop, swoop, swoop.
We've already set the anal bead image,
yeah,
and I just can't help but think I just let rip the biggest cape fart of all time.
Yeah, you did. Well done, Belleg.
Yeah. I've been waiting all week to do that. Oh, by the way, guys, they all know we're here now.
If Kaito had a bottom lip, I'd be biting it right now. Like, that was sweet. Well done.
Thanks, buddy.
Next in the order is Steve.
And I am stealth currently. I just want to know.
What are you not stealth?
I assume at the back of the pack there, Steve, you haven't revealed your position. Yeah, let's assume that you are in your stealthy ways, skulking along the... which side of the cavern are you on?
Well, I just want to see what... so I can't see this one kobold, right?
No, I suppose you couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't.
I think what I'm going to do is stealth up to the spot right next to Kaitoa. I want to get a view of what's further down the tunnel here.
You see three kobolds lining up for an attack. They are ready and they are moving towards you.
Okay. I'm going to attack.
Okay, as you deliberate, you notice that another kobold has moved into view, and another very close to the first one who was semi-shattered.
Well, I've got one attack at the guy closest, and then another attack at the next guy there.
Roll them up.
If I'm attacking from stealth, I get advantage?
Yeah, 2d20.
He's going to be the deadly shots. First one is a 18 on the shattered guy. I hit once. That's with the feet, so that's going to be 15 plus damage.
Describe how you impale this kobold in light armor.
I assume the semi-shattered kobold is just sort of falling apart at the seams. I help him open up with a dagger to an already seeping wound. I just want to see him like head explode scanner style.
I blow him up, you pop him.
A psychologist turned scanner, you quote, help him open up. Let those feelings
show me where the dagger
hit you. And you do, and he crumples.
Excellent.
Your second shot?
Second shot. One definitely hits, and that's also going to be a 15 plus damage hit.
Which kobold were you aiming at?
It's going to be the first. And then, to finish my movement, I am going to step back to where, right next to Belleg. I'm just going to...
What's up, dog? Belleg throws him a sneaky little high five.
Cheer.
So Steve popped into the shadows and lurking along, bagged two kills. You are up, Rook.
Holy fuck, we got a lot of these dudes right on our ass here, hey?
No, we only have four of them.
I haven't Isn't there five?
Yet. I only see four. The rest are corpses.
You see nothing, of course.
Are these so the five on the ground there are toast, or do you swipe them off, Robbo?
No, they're toast.
I'm gonna move my guy back, kind of just diagonally to across the cave from Kaitoa there, kind of where that one of those fallen kobolds is, right? Kind of hugging that wall there. I'm gonna stealth up there. Yeah, that bad boy. Give me a better vantage point into your dismay there. So I should be able to see 60 feet into the cave now, which you're hiding.
Besides my fat ass.
Shit, that's a lot of gas.
Yeah, let's say that you have moments to decide whether to dart away.
Yeah, I'm gonna stealth check and kind of dart back.
Okay, roll 20.
Ooh, plus my stealthy stealth. Yeah, 21.
That is not
so terrible. You were not noticed. Although, as you saw, some of the frontline kobolds, looking at their dead brethren, are certainly suspicious, and they know they're under assault. You were not seen, so you scoped out what you scoped out. What'd you count?
I turned to the guys and let them know that there is 9 more kobolds in there. 2 archers, 2 that are heavily, well, actually 4 with medium armor and 1 with light armor. The archers are at the back of the corners of the caves, as well as there's 3 chests.
I like that.
That sounds and nice. I'm going to ready myself in attack mode.
See, kobolds don't touch.
And chests, you're taking the ready loot. Action. Okay, Kaitoa, you're up next. You've been watching the corner. You were first up. You've taken a couple blows. And in the meantime, you know, Steve's darted around you. And you've had now a minute to do what you're going to do.
Yeah, I'm actually going to stay hidden behind this corner, actually, then. I'm going to hit the first guy in this line as hard as I can. Yeah, I'll take a ready action. Yeah,
ooh,
I'm
going
to stay hidden.
So back to the top of your order are the kobolds. You hear from inside the cave mouth a little bit of chattering. Beleg, you're up.
Who's
got a bow?
I don't think I do have a bow, but I'm going to walk down to here so I can see the, yeah, squish, squish, squish as I walk over corpses.
As you jump over nimbly a couple of kobold corpses and you see the kobolds have rallied.
Oh, Jesus.
Make a perception roll, Beleg, quickly.
All right. That is a 13.
It's 13. Dark, but you even notice that in the middle of the group, before about 10 feet of a line of 5 kobold archers, a badger and a kobold worm shaman.
The badger's rad.
Who mentioned the badger?
I was going to cast Hex on something, but I think just casting Shatter again makes a lot more sense.
Yep. AoE.
Dude, yeah, at that point? Ugh.
Yeah, I'm going to cast Shatter
again. Dude.
That hits. That can hit. These 6.
That whole circle.
The badger, the worm fuck, and that archer.
If anything, though, you should take out the archers.
But no, that's a good, that spot that he put it in is fucking brutal. Like, that rips the chunk out of.
Yeah.
Okay, so you tee up a shatter spell along the first row of kobolds.
It may actually behoove you to drop it on the badger. Maybe Kaito is right, because he can run into the combat with those guys. Yeah. If you kill all the guys up front, then it's going to
drop it on badger.
And he's not going to be able to pinch the archers. Yeah,
we can take out the sword guys. Take out the archers. Those are the fucks we can't get to. Take out the archers.
Those are the fucks I can't hit. Those are the fucks I can't.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
I think that's better.
And is it a constitution?
Drop it on the archers.
Yeah, it's con.
All right. What is your spell DC?
13.
Okay, here we go. So for the archers, I will roll all at once.
Come on.
Con -1.
That's a devastating spell for those little guys.
Yeah. Nuke the archers, man. We got the infantry.
14 -1.
13. Meets it, beats it.
So am I meeting it, or are you meeting it?
Yeah, I think you.
So they take half damage.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the badger and the shaman. Oh, sorry, no, the badger actually has a sweet-ass constitution.
Badger took it.
I had a hunch. I wanted to cast a hex to give him disadvantage.
Dude, that badger's got 15 con. Here we go.
Yeah. Either way, the badger...
Badger is going to take half.
Okay.
Shaman is going to take full. And the back line, the second row of melee fighters.
Yeah.
11. minus one, 10, so they're going to take full damage.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, I love spelling.
That's 23.
Good lord.
To the guys who take full. And then it's 11, I guess, to the guys who take half.
These archers, let's see. Three of them immediately disintegrate in a similar manner as before. Earthy, dusty particles blown into the air. This badger turns upside down, falls down right away, and it looks like he's having some serious trouble at a molecular level. The shaman and the two in back of the four infantry kobolds immediately explode. And this internal cavern, colon shaped indeed, is looking more and more like somebody's bad day at Chili's.
Also, like whatever,
pretty fast.
Someone had those, the grossest like, iguana tacos ever.
Those tables or whatever would all be destroyed as well. So if they are chests,
the
they're
two
open.
Stools and the small table equally are splintered against the wall in a thousand tiny splinters.
Yeah, I fucking love that spell.
Dude, that spell's rad.
And Steve, you were out.
1 sec.
So who is alive and who is dead here? I am going to slip down just behind Bellic. Well, first, actually, I'm going to cast Hail of Thorns, and then I'm going to chuck a dagger at...
Oh, nice, Hail of Thorns.
This guy right here. So, let's see if the dagger hits first. That's a 12.
That hits.
All right.
On the nose.
So, basically what happens is, as I throw the dagger, it hits the creature that I aimed at, and suddenly from that dagger, like a spray of thorns fires out and hits anything within 5 feet. So the guy, both guys next to him.
Grenade.
Both guys.
Yeah. Well, it basically, like the dagger itself doesn't explode, but like a spray of thorns. Upon impact, a spray of thorns fires out anything within 5 feet of the creature. So
yeah, frag. Okay, so his two fraternal friends are going to be fragged in the face.
Yeah.
At so, the same, do you roll again or use that same 12?
No, they it hits. It hits. They have to take a dexterity saving throw.
Got it. These little kobolds try to get out of the way of your hail of thorns, and they fail.
They fail. Okay. So the main kobold takes plus 5. So he takes 6 damage from the main attack. And
this is awful.
Two kobolds on either side take 7 damage each.
Nice.
So he himself doesn't take hit from the spine projectile. Like
yes, he does. Thanks. He takes the 7 as well. So the main guy takes the damage from the dagger, and then the thorns blow out of him.
That'd be really friendly munition if it hurt you less than the people that impaled. Yeah. This centermost kobold in this formation here receives the killing blow, and thorns spray out from him laterally, impaling both of his kobold cohorts, and all three stumble to the ground with multiple puncture wounds across every fleshy part of their body. They die.
Yes! Hail of thorns.
I like it.
Friends, adventurers, and listeners, it's time to announce the winner of our 1K Twitter follower dice giveaway. Congratulations! Hugh Melrose at H. Melrose on Twitter. You have won a set of your favorite from Ice Cream Dice. Hugh Melrose from gorgeous Spring, Texas. Oh, the things you'll do with your favorite dice from Ice Cream Dice. Perhaps you will visit
gorgeous
Spring Creek Greenway, or perhaps
Mercer Botanical Gardens.
Not your speed? How about
Old Town Spring?
A historic town with Victorian-style shops. Want to get a little wild? How about
Wet and Wild Splash Town?
Oh, your dice will have so much fun, Hugh Melrose from Spring, Texas.
The dice are on the way.
But wait, we have one more piece of news. Roll for Lore is a Dungeons & Dragons monster lore podcast that invites guests from the gaming community, such as DM Robulon, to discuss iconic D&D monsters. I hope you'll check out Roll for Lore podcast. They're on Twitter at Roll for Lore, and you can find them everywhere you get your podcasts. We had a great discussion about mimics. Please check out episode 3 of Roll for Lore.
Yes. Hail of Thorns.
I like it.
Ekaruk Poonchlay, you're up.
All right, so I'm going to move right, 15 feet. And then I'm going to actually, because I remember now that since we've gotten our backpacks back, our survival kits, that I actually have a bow and arrow. So I'm going to take aim at this buddy right here. The 19.
That hits.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Yeah. So I'm going for buddy
1d8.
1d8. Ooh, 7.
Rook takes a couple steps into the opening of the hallway that leads into the two chambers, takes a huge knoll arrow out of his quiver, fixes it, looses it, and Rook, describe how you dispatch this kobold archer.
As I let loose, that arrow seeks out his nostril and punctures him right through it. It is wonderful.
An arrow. And you hear this kobold just get pierced to the wall behind him through the nostril.
The nostril long shot.
Longbow snooters.
One bump of quiver, please.
Hi-ya.
The kobolds rally. And Beleg, you're going to take a swipe.
Robin, can I not? Because I've been like prepped this whole time. If he's going to walk up that close, can I not just be swinging at him for being that close?
That's a good question. Now, did you attack on your last turn?
No, I didn't.
You've always had your ready action. So yes, take your ready action.
Yeah, I would swing
at just like this axe from around the corner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why I didn't poke out.
Do you have advantage on a ready action?
Do I have an addition to that?
It seems like it, right? Because if you've been sitting there waiting for somebody to get down,
you don't know I'm there. Yeah,
she's attacking reaction, from...
It does. So you get to roll 2d20 to hit.
18 and a 4. I'll take 18.
18, obviously, plus your, I think, 5. It hits.
So 5, 18, and 5, 23. Okay.
What do you get for that? It's pretty big. 1d12.
Yeah, plus 3, so it's a 6.
What?
I rolled a 3. Yeah, it sucks.
Whatever your roll was, plus 5.
3 and 3, so it's a 1d12, which is 3 plus 5. Better. Yeah.
This kobold takes a crushing blow and is immediately driven into the ground like a wet towel.
Yeah.
The second kobold is going to take a shot. He's going to move up and take a shot at Rook. 6 plus 2.
You do die.
Is that at your AC?
It does not.
And I got a badger can move 30 feet. Okay. Badger's gonna run away. You are
coward.
So the badger takes a look after the kobold arrow flies off the mark and buries itself into the cavern wall just above Rook's head. And this badger looks like he is low on morale and recedes
the badger into escapes. The
second chamber.
If the badger escapes, can anyone take a reaction to shoot at him with a bow?
No, it's only if you're in combat.
Oh, okay.
Combat distance, 5 feet.
Had to check.
Beleg, you are up, and Beleg, just as soon as this kobold infantryman ran at you and was, you know, driven about a half foot into the dusty ground, you are now on point. What do you do?
Well, there's one kobold left, so naturally, I point at him, and I toll the dead.
Yes! Toll the dead! Toll the dead! This is our magic missile.
That's wisdom saving throw.
Lose your mind! Lose your mind!
He immediately makes eye contact with your slowly wagging finger. And as you begin to wag with more and more severity, describe what happens to this kobold archer.
He takes 11 damage.
Bong! You're shattering party horn. He like collapses to the ground and you're like, no!
And your damage is in excess of his hit pointage. And you guys essentially see him crumpled to the floor like a little bit of crumpled paper.
Belly yells, bring some noise!
I think of you doing a party horn, but with like a goat's or a ram's horn.
And so far? So far of death?
Yeah. Like so the far, horn of Gondor. So deadly. Party horn style.
That was a fun encounter, guys.
Well done.
I think that's a dead kobold.
He was just knocked so far into the wall that he's now a part of the wall.
19 kobold corpses litter the floor. Amongst them, the strange-looking shamanesque kobold that had some sort of fur piece on his head. A bunch of these archer kobolds, and you know, several heavily armored kobolds, a couple light ones, and again you hear a sort of snuffling and shifting from the cave at the back.
Okay, let's kill some things.
Now, Beleg, half-elf, are you still disguised as a kobold guard?
Yeah.
Do you change back?
Yeah, I kind of want to look like Beleg now.
There's more kobolds.
Yeah.
There's definitely more kobolds. We didn't kill 20 of them.
Robin, I said I'm at the next.
We did kill 19.
Cave.
Did we kill 19 kobolds?
Yeah, apparently. Oh.
Well, then that's pretty good. I don't assume there's many more waiting for us then.
Well, at least that's what Rob said like 5 minutes ago. He said there are 19 kobold corpses on the ground.
Excellent.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm gonna stealth move on up there.
I will stealth with him as well.
Kaitoa just... I'm gonna stomp loudly. Just march right up. No one's totally different. I just like him.
We fought. We're engaged. I'm just going forward.
I'm just loudly marching forward.
Actually, you know what? I'm gonna track and see if there's anything other than the badger tracks leaving this room.
You see years of worn footprints along the main passage between the two areas in this cave. And you see years of tracks, including obviously very well noticed tracks amongst the blood and corpses of the most recent visitors, which is this pack of kobolds. Other than that, it doesn't appear that there are any other creatures.
But any fresh tracks aside from the badger leading into this next cave area?
None.
Let's go check on our pal the badger.
Yep.
Yeah. Can I not see further, or is that a bend?
It's a bend. Yeah. Well, I would like to check on that that shaman corpse. Yep.
As you look down at the shaman corpse, you see indeed this is a different kind of colored skin of kobold. He is very dark skinned. Most of them were pink, and some of them were sort of a gray, gray-green. But this one here has sort of pelts on it, a gray fur. Roll an investigation or inspection.
That's not nice. That's a 4.
Is there anything in the room that that shows a reason why the kobolds were here?
Other than the shattered furniture and smooth cavern walls, this appears to be... well, let's see. There's sort of a hearth in one corner, but this appears to be a featureless cave. This portion.
Yeah, there's another room.
I think we're going to have to go like much deeper.
And I'm assuming I didn't see anything on that kobold.
Yeah, this shaman had a staff with some beads on it. And you did find like a pouch. There's something in there. You don't know. You rolled a 6, buddy.
I'm going to ride the coattails of Rook.
I take the pouch, yeah.
All right. Say again, Kaitoa.
I'm going to hold Rook's, like, cape and just ride his coattails. Rook's my guiding light. I can't see shit. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing a conga line. Yeah. And anything this guy sees, I'm holding him, and I'm going to swing at.
Yeah, I rejoin them.
Steve likes to hang back a little bit, so.
And from Rook's keep it, location, keep it dirty he and should stealthy. Be able to see north.
Yeah, I should be able to see deep, yeah. Deep into that.
Deep. So deep.
And as you come around the corner with the construct and Beleg, the half-elf right behind, you see a wounded badger skulking in the corner. And the badger has moved just into the shadows.
I'm going to move... Well, I've still got my bow drawn, right?
Fuck.
Well, I'm going to move, well, I guess 10 feet to my right here so I can see further.
I'm going to move up right to the corner of this wall, and I'm going to ready an action.
Yeah. Rook would be telling the old construct what's going on here, because I'm kind of his eyes, been through this.
Yeah, so as you guys, the three of you round the corner, he's rolling up on you. He's coming up along the side of this round part, this round room that you've now revealed. And this one actually has some floorboards to it. It has a little bit more structure to it. It has some timbers that are holding up the ceiling. And this this badger is bloody and snarling. And he's coming right for ya!
Belly wants to roll animal handling and try to calm it down. Cool down that badger. I want to animal handling and check.
Well, Rooks, I'm going to be wheeling my short swords in a ready action. And I'm going to hope Belly rolls some fucking badass animal handling.
Yeah, I want to calm this guy down.
Roll it up.
Oh, it's not very good. He's not very calm. That's a 6. It's like 2 6s in a row.
Did you new dice?
Yeah, hey man, I rolled some really good rolls too.
I can use my ranger primeval awareness to try and communicate with them. I have an innate ability to communicate with beasts.
You're not in here with us though. You're still way back there, aren't you?
I assume I'm following up behind you guys.
Okay, you are with us? Okay, sweet.
Yeah. I'm just not up front.
Yeah.
So, Beleg, describe how you try to animal handle this with a six.
I get down in a crouching position, and I let it sniff my hand, and I go, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, and I don't think it's very receptive.
He takes a swipe at you.
I assumed.
And roll a dex, saving throw.
Alright. That's a 19.
You pull out of the way so he strikes air.
I can't handle him, and he can't handle me.
And he runs to the back of the room.
Do you want me to talk to him?
Yeah, you can if you want. Beleg's done his attempt, now he's ready to kill it. But you can talk to him if you want to. You can, Steve.
Hey, buddy. I've got primeval awareness. I've got it's a level 3 ranger thing. I've got the ability to communicate with beasts. I'm recognized as a kindred spirit. I can communicate simple ideas to a beast as an action. I can read basic mood and intent, and I can understand short-term needs and the action that can be taken to persuade it not to attack. So I will kind of. I assume I understand that it needs its space. Is that what it's doing?
Well, Steve, you can see it's hurt. You do now sort of get a sense. What did you call it, Steve?
Primeval awareness.
Okay, your primeval awareness.
Yeah, my awareness
gives you a momentary animal insight. A connection is formed, and you look in this badger's bloodshot eyes, and he's been through some shit, man. He's been through the meat
these eyes,
with these kobolds.
These eyes have seen a lot of love.
He is a killing machine, but he's neglected, man. You know,
yeah.
he's a killing machine. He's neglected, and these kobolds, he's been riding with them against his will.
I got some gorp of my gorp selection. I know what badgers like to eat, so I will take some of that out in my hand, and I'll soothingly kind of walk up with the gorp in hand, be like, hey, buddy, fight's over, man. It's good. I got some gorp for you.
Before you commit to this, can a badger wear armor?
It could. It could.
It's gonna be, dude, if you either roll for it or roll play for it.
Yeah.
Steve, as you go up with your forest gorp, this badger is receptive to your, I think that was a two-way connection. He senses a lessening of the whole sort of bloodlust in the room. You know, because remember, the room that you just came back from.
Yeah,
I understand.
All right, I'm so, like, just soothing, like, and I guess with this ability to communicate, I'm basically repeating, you know, fight's over, we don't want to kill you. Here, this is your island now. You get to live here.
It snatches a whole handful of gorp and retreats into the corner. It looks like it is sort of getting into, you know, a bit of a licking of wounds.
I actually cast Cure Wounds on him.
Okay, how
I like
do
you
how
you
that?
Burn both spell slots for fuckery.
I have Cure Wounds. I cast Cure Wounds on the badger.
Okay, he's got a fairly okay stat block here, so yeah, fill him up, buddy. He was close to death, man, because that shatter shit is that's some freaky shit. That's no ordinary wound.
Sweet. I've never cast Cure Wounds before, so that is what, a D8 or something?
It's my first time too, Tomo.
D8 plus spell casting modifier. So plus 2. So
good.
That is. He gets 8 hit points back. And I guess, like, as I cast Cure Wounds, I have to touch him. I give him a little scratch behind
the
ears.
This, Yeah, we're just getting into these first kind of curing and restoring hit points. Does this involve a...
Yeah, I actually have to touch.
Okay, you better either roll or describe how you approach the molecularly disturbed and damaged badger.
I've got the Gorp in one hand.
Gorp in the left, pet on the right.
Right. And then, yeah, and
go
just
to the left of me.
Hey, oh, look at this tasty right, food! I got grubs and berries,
and you'll heal him with the patting right hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So slide the hand check.
I think so. Or you're gonna take, I think, a nasty bite.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, that's a 20.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was gonna say, I am also there trying to distract him.
And the robot makes a sort of a distracting screen.
Hey, buddy. There's Gorp here, and there's plenty of kobolds to eat when you're done after that. I mean, we kind of made the room a bit of a mess back there, but you can eat whatever you want.
He immediately looks, relieved, but falls down. And he's breathing. You can see a sort of life return to him, but he is not up and at him. It seems like he will probably be out for a minute or two after this.
Okay. Well, if he's cool, he's not in a bitey mood anymore, then I've done my job, and I don't want to kill him if I don't have to.
I don't want to kill him either.
He's not in a bitey mood, and he's not in the fight anymore, then I'm interested in killing him. I'll nuke a kobold, but I'm not really super interested in fighting a badger. I don't have
aren't
to.
Aren't we gonna keep him?
It's up to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's up to... Oh, we'll leave it up to him?
Yeah, it's his
probability dice.
If he wants to come with, he can come.
Yeah. If you love it, let it go.
Team badger, but if not, he's he now is the new owner of this little island.
Don't badger the witness.
Oh man, I think we just got our episode title. God.
Yeah.
Sleepy badger.
Hilarious. Don't badger the witness. This is a sleepy but healing badger. I mean, obviously you're out of combat. Belly, can you tell me your shatter thing? Does it truly shatter their corpses the way we described?
For RP sake. Fuck yeah.
Okay, so the only thing left is armor and leather strapping and weapons in the room where things were shattered. But that does leave, approximately, 4 or 5 kobold corpses. There's the shattered table and stools. And then speaking of stools, there's this colon-shaped cave with the inner chamber, which you're in, that seems to have floorboards and supporting beams along. And then as it goes back out into the light, again, it turns to shambles and dirt and kobold corpses. And then you're out into the light of day. And remember, you landed your boats. This is only probably 7:45 in the morning. It is a good morning.
I just go like, kind of, hey, guys, I told you we came here for a reason. I told you I wouldn't let you down. And I kick a little panel in the back right where I am and pull out a bag of 400 gold and give 100 to each of you.
Yeah, yay!
Gonna say, make it rain.
Yeah, I told you guys. Just gotta trust. Just gotta believe.
Belly, I look at it and I don't really know what to do with it.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
We can split yours 3 ways.
You take it? Yeah. Is someone really wanting to take it?
This is your opportunity to take advantage of Caleb right now.
Yeah. No. Moments passed. It's gone into my vouch.
Yep. It's inside your body now.
What is that? 100 or 300?
100 each.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a 100. Bag of 400 gold that I had stashed.
Nice. Nice. Is this your nest egg?
Yeah, dog. This is my nest egg.
So the fact that this whole cave has a wood, like a floorboard, is there not a chance there's something under this?
Unless it was put there after me, I don't know of anything else, but yep. You can...
Okay.
The floorboards appear to be well laid. There's no grout in between them. It's mostly dirt and debris. The hearth is in the first chamber. This looks like, for all intents and purposes, a small meeting room. Although there are no pieces of furniture. Everybody roll an insight or perception on this room.
I like perception.
I rolled an 11.
Yeah.
Nine.
The 11 beats me.
I got a 16.
Nice.
Okay, oh, Rook, sorry. You appear to you appear to be not so distracted by the snoring badger in the corner and the promises of gold coins. You look around and you get the sense that this thing looks like it could be like a smuggler's meeting place. The design makes sense. It's a one-way in, one-way out, transient spot shared by ne'er-do-wells, depending on your point of view.
So I'm going to turn to the crew and tell them exactly that, that this is just kind of a cave that we've found what we've come for, and we should move back outside of the cave and kind of make our way either up the mountain or back towards the water.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at these kobold corpses first, and then
also, can anyone like free this badger's mind? Because I feel like there should be more to this. Like, there's no way they're protecting the belongings that we found. There's got to be more.
Just told you there's nothing. Nothing.
I don't believe it. I think they were just coming in to raid whatever they could.
Alright.
Yep. I can't read his mind, but I just told you what I saw in the room, and it's nothing but the 400 gold coin. Which you were supposed to give me your 100. Seriously.
Hey, if you want it, if you're going to take it, if you tell me, if you honestly walk up and tell me, give me your 100, I'll give it to you. It means nothing to me.
Although I am mostly...
Do you want it?
I'm bordering evil. I do have a soft spot for Kaitoa, so I will let him keep his...
Yeah.
As the four of you discuss the situation at hand, you see the badger creep up in a changed mood, and he's skulking along the wall, and he looks at Kaitoa.
Yeah. I grab some Gorp, and also because my totem spirit is a bear, and therefore that incorporates fur or feathers, claws, teeth, or bones of the totem animal, and also I smell like it, and I take on attributes of it. So I have attributes of like a bear, wild animal. I smell like a bear. I smell like a wild animal. I'd hope that this animal would come to me.
This badger actually starts to sniff at your parts between your armor plates and, you know, kind of goes into a hugging your leg.
Yeah.
And he's snarling at the rest of the party as they look on.
And I just, like, give a gentle pet, and I, like, reach out and take whoever's closest. I, like, hold their hand while I'm petting them.
So what's happening then is, Steve, then, can you control this badger's wilder emotions?
I can understand, like, in the sense what it needs next, and what I can do to keep it from becoming aggravated. I know its mood and its intents, and I can communicate simple ideas to it, but...
He's been healed, and he's been shown some compassion. And as you learn, Steve, in your mind meld with him, this guy is, man, he's seen some long-term degradation.
A scarred badger. Level 3, I kind of gained this, like, Crocodile Dundee-esque ability to, like, just commute, like, learn, understand what beasts want, what they need, what I can do to...
You mean Steve Irwin?
No, I'm not taking. Yes. I'm not taking a stingray bolt to the chest. I'm doing. is the badger coming with us?
Why wouldn't he? Yeah.
Oh man, if that's the case, like him? I'm reaching into my little pocket and every once in a while, like pulling out a piece of gorp and just like offering it to the badger. And I'm just kind of telling him, like, oh man, I got like a bunch of papayas or something on the beach, and like, man, the fruit's looking good. As soon as we get down the beach, there's fruit for you, and then we can get on this boat. I caught a few fish. Do you like fish? I think you like fish. I don't know. Badgers like fish.
Let's go back to the boat.
We should check out where these locals are. There's a whole bunch of local settlements here, and there's good trading here. We also all have some gold now.
To be honest, though, we just, like, we have miles and miles of distance to travel. Let's just get the fuck on the boat and go.
We gotta have enough, like rations and food and stuff to make it.
Steve can, like, forage on the sea on the
completionist in me is fucking dying right now.
Okay. I know. Just abandon it and let's just move on.
What are these? So what do these guys have that's worth our gold?
Yeah. These locals Gurm has spoken of, it could be anything.
Okay. Then Beleg's vote would be to go back to the beach. Hopefully Mickey or Gurm is there. And then go around the east point.
Sail the coast.
Sail the coast, like, from a distance, check out on...
Yeah.
Come around, and then from a distance, check out what these settlements look like, and then make our decision from there.
How's that sound? If Mickey's still there.
Well, if not, we got Saval votes. I have faith in Mickey. I don't trust
him. Faith. Sorry, yeah.
That's a good t-shirt. I have faith in Mickey.
I'm with Mickey.
No, it's like, what
Mickey
would
is my homeboy.
Mickey is my homeboy. My Mickey. So what does the rest of the crew say?
Ground
That's
control.
Beleg has formally put out that idea.
Yeah, that works for me.
Rook concurs, he'll follow.
Sweet.
I have no opinion on anything, so go ahead.
It is an uneventful march back to the sea pickle. And although the fight with the kobolds was not without its damage received, you're none worse for wear. And the badger who is... guys...
Badger name? Oh shit, what did you name me, Steve?
What?
Krizblick.
Oh, Krizblick, yeah. Krizblick.
Krizblick the badger.
Krizblick the badger.
It didn't work for you, but it'll work for the badger.
Yeah.
Okay, so Krizblick is not falling behind. He looks like he's back to approximately 80% hit points.
Nice.
And he's followed you all the way back to the small beach where you see the sea pickle exactly where it was. Gurm, or Mickey, is inside one of the pontoon-shaped kobold armored skull vessels, rooting through the seats.
Beleg says Totoso, I knew he'd still be here.
Hey, boys! Oh my! Oh, giant, medium-sized badger! What is that?
Krizblick,
can we keep him?
What have you done?
He's with me.
He followed us.
Yeah, we found a new friend.
Yeah, I like pick him up, carry him under my arm like a small puppy, and I just like pet this badger like I found a new pet.
He has 15 constitution, so we think he'll be useful.
Yeah. Oh, you boys have a soft spot. I think this may get you in trouble. How did the local engagements go then?
They're all dead.
We painted the walls with those cobbles.
We'd rather sail around the coast to the south side to check on the locals from a distance instead of go straight down there. That gives us the chance to rest up.
And for them to save their own lives.
So you haven't been to see the locals.
Who haven't we been to see?
What sort of splatter artwork were you talking about? Cave artwork, was it?
Yeah, we found some kobolds. We took their badger.
We left them.
My, you are a sort of evasive group when it comes to answering questions. Well, you'll fit in with me, I suppose, then. I'll tell you what. Why don't you just let me in on a little of that jingle jingle, and then I'll be much more approachable when it comes to your plans for sailing. I'm happy to sail around the coast. At a cost.
By jingle jingle, you mean papayas, right? Because Steve got...
I got so many papayas.
Oh, yes, yes. While you were gone, I picked up Steve's little poncho tarp and loaded all of the babaya fruit, not papaya, babaya fruit in this babaya world,
correction,
which grows in a temperate northern climate in mid-January, and I loaded it onto the sea pickle, and we're stocked for days. I'll tell you, we can make it to Chintadu, but I would like to hear more about this splatter artwork. Kobold slaughter, you say?
Yes. It was wonderful.
I see. These little boats, you think they piloted. Where are the oars?
Oh, there aren't oars.
Yes, very strange. Don't you think? I say, did anybody follow you back here?
Nope.
No.
Very well. I'll tell you, badger it's awfully did. Hard to keep that voice on. And, lads, I'll tell you, you passed the first test. Miraculous. Fantabulous. Now, up on the sea pickle, we got to get out of here. I don't think we have to worry so much about what's on Boo. I think we got to worry what might be coming from behind us, men, from the mainland. Now, you want to sail around the coast? Cut me in, right? I see what's going on here, Belleg. I give you a little love, you give me a little love, everything be all right.
All right. What do you want? You want 50 gold?
500.
500 gold. I don't have 500 gold. I only have 400 gold.
What?
Tell you what, I'll take installments. Just give me 100 now, and 100 for every week that you folks want to pilot the sea pickle.
That works.
Done. Shake on it. And he sticks out his hand.
Shaken.
Done, love. Quick as a jiff, he runs back to the sea pickle.
And, anybody want to help pitch in on this?
Just as quick as you guys are discussing payment,
my metal
the fly. Anchors are going up on the sea pickle, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Kaitoa doesn't even care about his gold. He can pay the first installment.
Yeah. No, I honestly zip up my... I'm leaking coolant. I come back. All of a sudden, we're paying money, and I'm like, what are we paying money for? Yeah. And I ask Belleg, what are we paying for? What do we owe?
We owe 100 gold to Mickey for every week that we want to pilot this vessel. So he needs 100 gold right now.
Okay.
Give him your 100 gold, Kaitoa.
Yeah. I pull it out of my robot leg and I give it to the party.
Okay, what does, so like, what Kaitoa kind of hands positive... over his 100 gold. And guys, you my see Mickey now go into his cabin. But there's a problem with the sea pickle.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
It has to be been rolling. Beached.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Kaitoa.
Yep. I give my 100, and I instantly hop on the beach, and I look at Rook, and I'm just like, wave him onward of like, we're gonna...
It's our boat now.
Okay, let's go. I'm gonna jump down and get it off the beach, right?
Yeah.
So Rook will jump down and help pull this thing out to sea.
And we, like, each tug of the waves, I guess we gotta wait for tide.
So what is Rook doing? Are you running towards the...
Rook and Kaito are, like, heaving this boat back into the ocean
and Steve
with
and
every
Belleg,
wave.
You are right now sort of right beside the kobold pontoon boats, and you are watching the big linebacker shaped party members run towards the sea pickle, ostensibly to start pushing it back into the surf.
I hop on the sea pickle.
Okay, you run up and hop onto the sea pickle. Steve?
I'm already on the sea pickle.
Okay, yeah. Steve has stealthily, while we were talking, he's like already there. He's getting his fishing line back on.
Yeah, like I've got my feet up on the back, just like, are you guys jumping on or what?
A strength check, Kaitoa and Rook.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh shit!
And a beast bad boy out right.
Oh, is that a 19, Brando? Yeah,
19.
Nice.
Oh, you got a 14 plus 5. 19.
Wait,
well,
where's the manager?
I gotta check my strength too. My strength plus 4.
Where's
so
Chris Blick?
23.
Somebody grab Chris Blick.
Chris Blick.
Caleb, do you have Chris Blick? Did you put him on the boat before you started pushing?
Rook wants nothing to do with the manager.
I don't know what he does, but he was following me.
Yeah. Rook has no animal handling skills, nor does he care. He's just focused on
the boat. To be honest, he's either on my back or on the boat. He's not pushing.
Yeah, as long as he's not on the beach.
He's on my back like I'm carrying him, or I'd assume we loaded him on the boat with everyone else.
All right, he's on the boat then.
Yeah, he's on the boat.
He's helping me fish.
Yeah.
Kind
he's probably looking at you fish pretty intently.
Dexterity... dice.
Plus one. But it's still a 19.
Nice.
No!
Fuck you, DM.
You have a badger on a boat.
Yeah.
Boat badger.
Yeah. He's my friend. I'm a bear.
Kaitoa, as you and Rook push with all your might to launch the sea pickle out, Chris Blick, you sort of do like a little piggyback move, like come hither, and he sort of, you know, jumps onto your metal hide, and in one motion you manage to swing a leg up with the badger and you launch him onto the deck, and Mickey looks at you with astonishment,
and I give him like a little wink in the gun, just being like, Mickey,
my mind is fertile. I'm mossy right now, Mickey. Mossy.
Righto, then. I guess we're doing this. Pets. All right. Pets. All right. Fine, then.
Pets.
And I do, like, a suck it, Mickey.
I'll tell you what. If this little fella can make me a nice set of gloves when he expires his candle, I'll let him stay on the pickle as long as he wants. Look at that fur. Can you imagine that on the inside of a glove or a boot?
Mickey, this little pet's done more for the party than you have so far.
That's bold.
He looks a little disturbed. I'll be honest. Yeah, Mickey goes back to his controls. He seems to be very preoccupied with getting the sea pickle against the surf out to sea, because surely this is not the common approach to Bool. This is the side where typically you're not going to have any sort of favorable exit from the bay, and the sea pickle is struggling to find a favorable wind to get to the south, is where you indicated you wanted to go.
Yeah, I think we should go. Well, Beleg's already voiced his. Go around the east point, curve around it, check out the settlements on the south side, and then if we don't want to stop in there, we're right on track to go to Shintadu.
Deal. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, Rook, well, I'm gonna hop back up on the boat and going with the wind here, whichever way everybody wants to go.
Okay, so everybody can, hold on to the sides of the boat here, because it is a rocky exit from this northeastern bay. You do start to gain some speed as you go southeast around the tip of this very mountainous and sort of temperate jungle, impenetrable side of the island. Along the way there, you know, we're looking at an approximately, it's not very far. I mean, as you round the tip of the island, The morning opens up, and you're approaching midday as you hit the tip of the island. And here, Mickey comes out of his cabin. My friends, it was not an easy navigation around the coast here. I much prefer approaching Boo from the other side, but here we are. What are we doing then? And I believe somebody owes me a little bit of cash on the barrel head, eh? A little gold coin on the dicky oin.
What do you owe, what do we owe you cash for now?
100 per day, no? The 2 days I ferried you to Boo, and then
you said
a prepayment
per
for
week.
Today.
That's what we shook
That's
on.
That's 300.
Definitely gonna call him on that one.
Yeah, what the hell are you trying to talk about, Mickey?
All right, sit down, lads. We'll just put it on tab, why don't we? Where are we going next? 300 it is.
No tab. You said 100 per week.
You did.
100 per day, and it's been 2 days to get here. We'll take a day to go around, visit the locals, 2 to 3 days to chin to do. I'll get my 500 gold from you folks, and I'll let you off. And a chin to do. All right, sounds pretty fair. My math's all right. And he takes out a small wooden abacus with 6 rails on it. And each rail has different colored beads. And he moves them back and forth and they click. And he says, 502. But yes, more or less.
No, 100.
You said 100 per week, Mickey.
All of a sudden, the wind falls out of the sails of the Sea Pickle, and you feel the boat start to drift a little bit, and Mickey stops moving at the levers in his control seat.
Belly tells Mickey to stop being a little shit.
I say, I think we might have a little bit of a problem here, love. I'm all happy to put your payment on account, but I think we need to come to some sort of an arrangement here, I mean. Do you want to swim, or do you want to sail?
Mickey, what about the gold that I've already put forward as a construct?
I take that in good faith, and I see 100 paid out of 500 to chin to do, or I can let you off here with the locals, and you, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a discount. You only owe me 200 more.
Mickey, clearly there is, like, profit in us being a part of your party.
I'll tell you where there's profit ferrying around people on the run. I'll tell you, quite a lot of profit.
I think we settle on a total when we get to chin to do.
Easy, Mickey, peasy, okay. Lemon squeezy, let's shake and chin to do.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Chin to do. That's where we discuss
things.
Let's
sail on.
Yeah.
And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will have to leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.